Hello and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. This week, we're continuing our interviews with my team members from Splendor Magazine with Courtney Selvidge, the writer of our A Cuppa with Jesus devotional feature. Courtney joins us today to talk about her testimony of how she came to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior, how she continuously learns to lay the desire to control her life at the foot of the cross, and we even talk about where the name A Cuppa with Jesus came from. All this and more in this episode for our new life series. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dressed in Splendor. Today, I am continuing our new life series conversations with Splendor Magazine's A Cuppa with Jesus writer, Courtney Selvidge. A couple of years ago, when I was looking for a devotional writer, Courtney actually submitted a guest article at the right time that she could put on our online blog surrounding mental health, and I could tell that her story and her writing were something special. And thankfully, she and I had a conversation, and it just clicked, and she said, yes. Courtney has been on our team ever since, almost since the very beginning, and she's written for every issue we've had so far, and I'm so thankful for her and her friendship. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited for us to dive into our conversation about your testimony. But before we begin that conversation, why don't you just share a little bit more about yourself for those who don't know you, and then maybe even talk a little bit about what A Cuppa with Jesus is all about. I know, and if you need some help on that end, I can help you with that because it's been a while since we've talked about it. But let's have people know you and your feature.
Sure. Yeah. So, like you said, my name is Courtney, and I am the A Cuppa with Jesus editor for Splendor. First and foremost, though, I am a follower of Jesus. I am a daughter in Christ. I'm also a wife and a mom and a daughter and sister and all of those great things. I love to write. I have a passion for writing. I have a passion for event planning. That was one of my previous vocations. I have a passion for serving and helping people as well, which is where one of my other previous vocations came into play. I was a nurse for a few years. Mm-hmm. That's where I am professionally trained, where my education is in. But right now I work, quote unquote, as a stay-at-home mom for the most part, mm-hmm. outside of my work with Splendor, and it's been a wonderful thing, which I know I'll touch on more. But the Cuppa with Jesus feature in the Splendor magazine is largely a devotional piece. It's a bit different from the new Ecclesia feature in that it is shorter and not as interactive as readers will find with the Ecclesia in the future. But it's just more so a space for encouragement and teaching readers about biblical stories and characters from the Bible and how that can translate into their life and where they find God and Jesus today. So you're welcome to touch on that too, Lydia, because that's not really something we've defined for each other in a long time, but that's kind of where I've taken it at least.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you hit it right on the mark. I know that I've gotten a couple questions about why it's called A Cuppa with Jesus. And I think just with the name itself, like as I was thinking about what to name a devotional like feature, a lot of people you'll see on social media, it's all about like coffee and Jesus and all that stuff. And I was just thinking, I was like, well, not everyone likes coffee. And I feel like if we're, you know, there's nothing against those who have the Instagram handles of like
Jesus and coffee or coffee Bible time or whatever. But I think we put a little too much emphasis on coffee. And it's almost like that we need coffee with Jesus when we're spending time with Jesus. And obviously, like, that's the cup is like a playoff of that. But it's also to say, like, there are people who hate coffee and they love tea, or they want to have something else, a cup of whatever, as you're sitting down and enjoying time with the Lord. And it's just also to kind of say, like, people, the reason why coffee, I think, is so important for people with their Bible time is just a time to unwind and relax. And that's something I see for a couple with Jesus, is as they read, it's something that they can meditate on with the word, and not in a way where it's too, as you said, not as interactive as a new Ecclesia feature will be, but it's more of like you're soaking in God's word through just another source from you, and just some things that go along with our theme, just something to uplift them in a setting that's more comfortable for them, and that they can just ease back and relax in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is the whole title of it, is A Cup with Jesus. So in that, I view it as just pulling up a chair, sitting down, grabbing a cup of whatever it be, like you said, mm-hmm. and really just taking pause, taking a breath, and just soaking in that moment to be with Jesus and not necessarily be doing anything, be go, 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 but just really just spend time with Jesus and share in that restful moment with him.
Yeah. So hopefully if anyone has read her work before, hopefully we emulated that well, that you felt kind of at rest with the Lord as you're reading her words. But actually, let's get to know the person behind those articles, and get to know her testimony and her heart. So, Courtney, how did you first come to learn about Jesus? And was there a time that you remember that you consciously actually made the decision to accept Jesus as your Savior?
Yeah. So I grew up in a Christian household. Thank goodness for that. I have a wonderful family. Parents are together, and I have a younger sister. Mm-hmm. So it was just a very encouraging household, and I know I'm very fortunate for that. We went to church growing up. My grandparents were also very encouraging to me in the faith. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus's name and his character and his nature were always something that I grew up around and learning about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're a little kid, it seems almost fantasy-like in a way. You know, I thought it's kind of like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. So it took me a few years to really realize how true and real Jesus is and everything that the Bible teaches us. It's not just a fairy tale like you read in nursery rhymes. Mm-hmm. And I think the first time that I heard about salvation was around third grade. I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I went to a Bible camp with one of my best friends at the time, and they talked about being saved. They asked, have you been saved? Have you, you know, prayed the prayer? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? And I didn't really know what those questions meant and hadn't really heard those specific terms before. And I remember you had to color in a square if the answer was yes, color in a triangle if the answer was no. And so it was kind of portrayed and spoken in a way that like a child might understand it, but it was still kind of something I didn't fully get at the time. So I remember praying a prayer with someone, don't even remember who it was. And I remember being really excited after and thinking, man, Jesus is in my heart. This is so awesome. Yeah. Like, he's here to stay. But I still, you know, I still didn't fully understand what that meant at that age. And so it was several years later, I think 12, I was in middle school. I went to a summer camp, and that's when it really hit me in a way that I understood. And that's when the word of God was something that I really dove into. And, you know, I learned a lot from just studying his word deeply with other girls my age and with mentors for the first time. And I just thought, man, this is what I want for my life. And I want to walk with God, and I want to spend eternity with him. And that's like, that's it for me. That's the end all be all. Yeah. And so I prayed with a counselor that week and just felt like this peace and this love was washed over me, and it was incredible. And so that was the moment when I really consciously accepted Jesus as my Savior. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful timing too. Like, of course, God orchestrated the whole thing when it comes to mm-hmm. the timing too, because right after I came home, found out we were moving to another state, and goodness, had I not had Jesus as my Savior when we were going through that tough time right after, mm-hmm. I would not have handled things as well as I did or have learned as much about God as I did.
Was that the first time that you moved in your life? Is that, do you think that's why, like, it was kind of hard for you and that you were thankful to have your relationship in Jesus at that point?
Yes, it really was. So it was a very last minute move. We moved within a couple mm-hmm. weeks of me getting back from that summer camp, and I didn't know anything about it beforehand. And, you know, when you're still a kid and you've grown up around all the same family and friends and people in the same home your whole life, something like a move across the country can really shake you up. And mm-hmm. I just felt like everything was being pulled out from underneath me, mm-hmm. but I had Jesus now, and yeah. that changed everything. And I remember someone telling me through that time, like, God won't give you anything you can't handle. And I remember thinking, you know what? That's not true. He will give us things we can't handle, but it's so that we'll lean on him to get through it, because he is yeah. our strength in those times. And man, it was just, it was really eye-opening. Mm-hmm. And having Jesus didn't make it an easy thing to go through, but I knew I was being carried by mm-hmm. the creator of the universe. And this was just a very small season of my life, and I knew that I could still learn more about God and yeah. learn to glorify him through it. So it ended up being really great.
Yeah. That's interesting that you kind of knew, obviously, as a Christian, we hear that phrase you mentioned, God won't give you anything you can't handle, so often. So mm-hmm. for those who may be listening, who've never heard that before, it's basically Christianese talk at this yes. point. We hear that so often, but you are so correct. So you kind of understood at an earlier age, I guess. I mean, even people our age and older probably still would kind of use it as a mantra, is like, God won't give anything more than you can handle. But I think that we've used Job so many times in previous episodes on the podcast, but he's so like relevant, I think, to share. Like, I mean, he lost everything and he was able to go through that, but there was a moment where he was just a broken man and he spoke and did nothing. 3 days of silence, I think it was, and I could be wrong, but with his friends, and they just sat in silence with him. And I just think about those moments of like, you know, yes, God's strength is able to carry us through. And that's why people say like, God won't give us anything that we can't handle. But like you're so right that there are moments where it's like, I can't handle this, but that is why we need God. Like if we didn't have God, that's why that statement wouldn't be true at all. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I am curious to know, so it seems like that was a time earlier in your life where you were able to kind of, it was a trial that you walked through that was very different. It just uprooted your life and you clung to God in that moment. And you understood what it meant to really like cling on to him through thick and thin. But I'm curious if there are any moments in your life where you just felt as though there were no God, even after you came to faith. And if there was a time that you just doubted him and you wanted to walk away.
Right. So I don't think there has been a time where I've thought that God did not exist per se. Mm-hmm. However, there have definitely been times where I have doubted maybe my purpose and his plan and thought, is this even worth it? Because sometimes it's harder, or it seems like it's harder to walk in the faith than if I were to just do things my way and how I would want it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things I don't see until after the fact and realize, oh man, God really had a plan all along. He was there in the big things and in the small details too. But you know, there have been things that I've walked through that have challenged me. So, gosh, let's see. After we moved, I was the new kid in school. This is, again, when I was quite a bit younger. But I had some friends who seemed like really uplifting and positive girls. And then a couple years go by, we're in high school, and they start spreading some false rumors about me and just kind of start bullying me. And it was really unfortunate. And being a 15-year-old girl at the time, even having this life in Christ, it's hard when you're in the world and you're that age and you're so easily influenced by society. Yeah. It's hard to not get wrapped up in those kinds of things. And yeah, totally. I am someone who has to really be aware of how much I like to try to control things, circumstances, and situations. And that's something I consciously have to daily put at the foot of the cross, to give up that control and to just, I know it sounds cliche, but let go and let God. It really is true. And when I was bullied during that season, I thought, okay, I can't control what they're saying about me. So what can I control? I can control my body, my physical appearance. And unfortunately, that kind of led me down a road of an eating disorder for a couple of years. And that was a big struggle, but a lot of that was just me fighting to control some aspect of my life when I felt like things were spinning out. And my goodness, I learned so much about God through that, because I realized a few years later, again, I didn't see a lot of this until after the fact, but realized that God was just like knocking on the doors of my heart the whole time. And even though I would pray and would go to church and would sometimes read my Bible, I wasn't fully giving my life to God. And I was holding on to as much as I could. And that was preventing me from living my life to the fullest extent that I could in the Lord, and from being able to glorify Him to the fullest extent that I could. And so it was difficult for sure. And thankfully, after a few years, you know, I spent time confiding in a mentor in my church who I trusted, and really diving into what the Bible says about us and our physical bodies and how God created every bit of us, but really our bodies don't matter in the long term. And just learning all of that and unlearning some things that society taught me really helped me to get through that and refined and rekindle my faith in God again, because He was there with me through all of it and carrying me when I could not carry myself, even though I thought I had everything under control. So it's just interesting how, you know, someone who's such a broken human, you know, gets to be carried by God when we don't feel like we have it in us, or when we think we have it all figured out and we really don't.
Totally. I was just reminded of, I think control is the big word of this series so far, from what I've seen and read, not read, but seen and heard from our previous writers as well, who've been on the series so far, is just, I think that we often desire to have control over our lives. And it's only when we realize like we really have no say in the matter of our lives if we are followers of Jesus. But to actually show that when we do try to control things, it actually can hurt us more, instead of just trusting, like you said, let go and let God. I just think of my own, like, you know, I'll share briefly about how when I was depressed in college, I ran to fashion as a means to try and get out of it, as look good, feel good Mondays, you know, that if I dressed up, looked my best, and pretended like I had it all together, I would maybe finally feel like I had it all together. And unfortunately, like, that did work. And, and I say only unfortunately, because I did not have God at the center of it at all. I was kind of mad at Him because I felt like He wasn't there with me when I was depressed. I felt so alone. And yet I realized, you know, it actually brought on a whole slew of issues that came. So depression left, but then vanity and pride came in its place, and self-image issues that were increased because I thought I only felt good when I looked good, or people only cared about me when I looked a certain way. And if I didn't, then people didn't think I was as attractive or likable or whatever. And then, you know, I just came to the realization that I was angry at God still, didn't realize it. And when I let that go, I still have some issues with vanity, but I think it's a moment of like, okay, Lord, like you are in control. I trust you. You are there with me. Even when it feels like you're not, when I'm being bullied or I'm feeling alone, and I just got to trust in him that he is with us and he's got a good plan, even when people are just mean, you know? Sure. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, absolutely. So that circumstance definitely taught me trust in God and taught me that really I don't ever have control. Even when I'm trying to grasp at it or think I have it, it's just an illusion because God is the orchestrator of our lives.
Totally. You mentioned something about how you kind of doubted God's purpose for you. And the thought that I had actually brought me back to when you said that you used to work in the medical field, like healthcare, and then you've also been an event planner. And I can see how God worked in you and through you through that. And even remembering what you wrote about mental health with your article, did you, maybe this is not what you had in mind, but did you maybe feel like with career changes or whatever that maybe you felt like you didn't know what God's purpose was for you?
Yeah, totally. No, that's very accurate. So my bachelor's degree is in nursing. That's what I went to school for. And I worked as a nurse in hospitals for a couple of years. And it's interesting because when I went into the nursing field, it wasn't really something, to be completely honest, that I felt like God was calling me into. It wasn't something that I had prayed a whole lot about. It was something that I just felt like I should do because it would lead to success. And it's not that I ever disliked it strongly, but I just thought, what's the thing that will bring me the most like success and bring a lot of accomplishments? Because that, again, I think that's me trying to just control how maybe things look on the outside, which is still to this day something I struggle to lay at the foot of the cross, but we're working on it. Yeah. And the first thing that came to mind was doctor when I asked myself that question. And gosh, I realized early on that did not sound appealing to me at all. I have so much respect for doctors, but I did not want to do that. So I thought, well, being a nurse is pretty close to that, but I don't have to do as much school. So that was really the beginning and end of my reasoning there. So I just went for it and went through it. And I'm still proud that I did it. And I don't have regrets about doing that because I know God put a lot of people in my path along the way and taught me a lot of things along the way that I wouldn't have learned, or people who I wouldn't have met otherwise.
Right.
But going into the profession itself, I had so much anxiety and it got to the point where I was almost to tears before every shift and I couldn't figure out why. Like I was just crying out to God a lot of the time asking, why is this so hard for me? It's such a struggle and I just don't feel like I'm in the right place. And I realized that God wasn't trying to place anxieties on my life and trying to keep me in a situation that is just going to be really hard on me emotionally and mentally for a long time. So I started to feel the nudge from him to step away from the profession, which on one hand felt like a big relief and felt like a huge answer to prayer. But on the other hand, I thought, man, I've worked so hard for this and it looks really good on the outside to be a nurse. And even though there were things about it I loved serving people and getting to meet people where they were in a lot of times a tough situation and hear their stories. But man, it was not something that I was meant to be in forever. And thankfully, I kept on praying and speaking to God and started to hear nudges from him. Even if I felt like it took a long time, it was all in his timing, which was so beautiful. So I did finally step away from the nursing profession and just kind of wasn't sure where to go next. And the thing is, too, I was placing a lot of weight in my choice of career. Mm-hmm. And I have learned after all this, looking back now, like it's not about what I do really, but about who I am and how I'm glorifying God in what I'm doing, no matter what I'm doing. So I turned to event planning next because it was just something I'd always wanted to do and thought, why not? So did that for a while and I loved it. And I got to meet people during generally happier times of their lives, but I still got to serve them. And I met some incredible people who I got to pray with and talk to God about too, in the midst of, you know, their wedding, which was pretty amazing. So yeah, all that to say that I have struggled a lot with anxiety overall. And a lot of it has been centered around what I feel like my purpose should have been when it comes to careers. And that's not the end all be all for us as Christians. Mm-hmm. We are placed on this earth to glorify God and to advance his kingdom. And what we do to do that isn't as important. Not totally. That it's not important at all, but you know, what's the point in having a specific career if you can't glorify God, or if you can't share the gospel, or if you can't find the joy of the Lord in it?
Hey listeners, it is finally spring. The trees are budding, the beautiful blossoms that you only get to see once a year, and it is a wonderful reminder of the new life we have in Christ when we accept Him as our Savior. This issue has been shipped out to our buyers, but we still have a few copies left to buy before we sell out. If you buy this magazine, you'll find some wonderful curated content with you in mind. We also have some special guests in this current issue, and it's worth the money to read their testimonies. Special guest writer Julia Woods writes an excellent piece about what it means to love your husband, and her credentials show us exactly why she knows a thing or two about how to help couples in their marriage. Her business called Beautiful Outcomes specializes in helping couples grow together for a lifetime through coaching, retreats, and courses. We also have our Deborah Woman featured, Phyllis DeWitt. Name sound familiar? You may remember her from our previous episode in our Comfort and Joy series. If you haven't listened, you can check out her episode, but you can also now read her testimony and interview written by Hannah Priest in this New Life issue. We have a special offer just for our listeners. Go to our shop and use special code DIS15, that's DIS15, to get 15% off when you order our New Life issue or our biannual subscription. Don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Courtney. Well, it seems like you are listening to God's nudges, you know, that He is leading you. And I think that's the important thing to remember for anyone who may feel the same as you in their uncertainty of their job choice. Even with you and myself, actually, we both had degrees, like you in nursing, me in music ed. I'm not doing anything with that except for worship and everything. And I can't dwell on the fact that part of me could say I wasted 4 years on a degree I don't necessarily use. I find that my education was very valuable. And if I actually turn it into the lens of like, well, I'm following after God, and if I'm doing that, I am where I should be in His hands. Like there's no wrong choice that would lead me away from God's path for me. And even if, and I've actually shared this with my parents one time where I made a decision that they didn't necessarily agree with. And I said, look, even if I'm making the wrong decision, I love God and my desire is to follow Him. And even if I did make a wrong decision, I believe that He'll put me back on the path He wants me on. Mm-hmm. And it's really true. I mean, I 100% could say that I am here where I live right now, what I'm doing right now, because I'm following the nudges, as you're saying, I'm following after the Lord and what I believe He's calling me to do. So seems like he's kind of shaping your life in that way. And you're a stay-at-home mom now and taking care of your family, which is a great job in itself. And maybe the Lord will have you do some more outside of that, or maybe through the church, or just continuing to be a stay-at-home mom. But how would you say that, like, becoming a believer has shaped your life in other ways?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, becoming a believer has shaped everything, right? So, gosh, like you said, I am a new mom. I have a 13-month-old son now, and he's amazing. He's so much fun. It's such a fun age. And yeah, being a believer has changed everything, really, about motherhood and being a wife too for me. Like, I don't think I would do anything the same if I didn't have Jesus when it comes to being a wife and a mother. So it's just amazing. Like, I just feel like I have such a greater purpose as a mom. Yeah. You know, it's not just to raise a good human, which definitely is the goal of every mom. But when you are a believer, you're trying to steer your child towards Christ from the get-go. And just to have an eternal mindset through all of that is a huge deal. And getting to collaborate with my husband as a family unit to figure out how we want to raise up our son and any future children that we may be blessed with, to walk with God and to, you know, cause all of the future generations that come after us to do the same. It's amazing. And it's caused me to dive deeper into scripture and to really look inward at my own heart and make sure that I am following Jesus and rooting myself in the truth so that I can teach that for our children. Yeah, I would say that's the biggest thing right now that, you know, becoming a believer has shaped my life. But so many other things I just think about, and I know you kind of talked about this with Brittany some too, like what my life would have looked like had I not accepted Jesus. And yeah, I probably wouldn't be married to my husband. I wouldn't be living where I am. I wouldn't have gone through these careers, and may not have my son. So it's just incredible to think about where Jesus has brought me. And also the trials that I've gone through, how much I've learned. I read a quote the other day, and I just think it's interesting that I've been pondering on that God will allow what he doesn't like so that he can accomplish what he loves. And I think that's a really interesting one. I'm still kind of like mulling over that, but something that is just interesting to me. Like, I've gone through lots of trials too, but because of God, I've come out the other side and just see so much beauty and have learned so much that I can take with me into the future. So yeah, and that's a very roundabout, vague way to say that shaped everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the Sunday school answer, is that God should shape your entire life and everything that you do. And there are just some ways that stick out a little bit more of how evident he's done that than others. And so it seems like you've gotten to learn more about yourself and who God has called you to be through scripture. What have you learned more about yourself the more you walk with Jesus?
Yeah, great question. So I would say most recently I'm learning that I can be a teacher, which I know is kind of a weird sounding answer, but I feel like Jesus has been teaching me that I can teach others. The more I learn about him, the more I learn about scripture. More specifically right now, that pertains to my son, I would say. And I just get so excited thinking about like what Jesus is placing on my heart and what he will place on my heart when it comes to teaching and raising up our son. That's really big for me right now. It's funny because, like I said, I have tended to focus on what I can accomplish and what looks successful. And just since having my son, I've struggled a little bit with feeling like I should go back into the career field. Like, maybe I should take this job. Maybe I should apply for that and then also be a mom. And God has just really called me lately to not move, just to stay put where I am and to be at home full time with my son. And that's kind of been a struggle for me, honestly. But I am learning now that I am, gosh, I'm becoming more obedient in what God is telling me outright. And it's just kind of beautiful to see how God's moving in that obedience. And yeah, it's really amazing. And I think because I am trying so hard to just like not move until God tells me to move and to stay put in this place of being a stay-at-home mom, which I do love, by the way. It's the best job I could ever have. but it is challenging. Any other stay-at-home mom would agree that it's not just a walk in the park. Yeah. It is really tough some days. And God is just teaching me right now to just stay where I am, be content where I am, really soak in the present and not focus about what things will look like specifically a year or 5 years from now. But to just take in this time and really learn how to teach my son in the way that he should go, because the scripture says he will not stray from it. So yeah, that's kind of my main thing right now, that I'm learning more about myself. And I've also learned too how much I love to write through God. And as anyone who's read our magazine knows, I love to write. And that really started for me by journaling my prayers several years ago. And I just feel God, I just feel the Holy Spirit speaking through me when I write.
It's beautiful.
And so that's something beautiful that I've learned, and kind of where I get a lot of those nudges too from God. I think for anyone who is listening and feels like God has not been speaking to them maybe, or they hear about people hearing God speak to them when they pray and they're like, I don't hear that. I just hear myself praying. I would just encourage you to find in your life where you feel the Holy Spirit the most, because you may not always feel the Holy Spirit when you're praying at your bedside in a dark room. And that's not to say that the Holy Spirit's not there. He's fully there with you. But for me, I've learned that walking in nature and especially writing are when I feel the Holy Spirit the most. And sometimes that's when I get those nudges from God or I hear him speak to me. And so I would just encourage those listening to keep seeking after God in everything, in the everyday, because you never know when you'll hear him speaking to you. And that was a full tangent, so I'm sorry. But
no, it's beautiful.
That's just where
it's
awesome. Let's go with that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I actually was just going to add too, is if those moments where you feel the Holy Spirit the most may be in the times where God may reveal to you what your gifts are. You know, you said for yourself, it's a lot of times through writing. For me, it's when I lead worship on stage, more often than not. I also, I mean, when I read the Bible is the most I ever feel from the Lord of when he's teaching me something. But when I'm serving up on stage, I feel the Holy Spirit at work, because I feel like I'm exactly where he wants me to be, and to use my gifts to help, to glorify him, but also to help the church. And so if you're questioning also like what your gifts are, maybe that's also a question, as Courtney said, of like where you feel the Holy Spirit the most, and seeing if maybe when you do feel him, and you did mention like walking in nature, but so that's not necessarily a gift, but maybe it is. I mean, and so like something to where you're at rest the most, or maybe you're doing something actively that you can feel his presence in that way. But yeah, just I would add on to that encouragement of just be able to just keep asking the questions. And I think a lot of times too, you won't know it until you look backwards. You know, you look behind and you're saying like, wow, hindsight is really 20/20. Like, I had no idea I had this huge love and passion, or I had no idea I was meant to do this. But everything that I have done, like I'm using me as an example, like I knew I was supposed to do Splendor because of the gifts and passions God has placed on my heart, made sense when I felt like the Lord was telling me to start a Christian magazine. You know, I was like, this makes complete sense with what I desire to do in helping advance the kingdom. So yeah, I was, and even to you, just to go back to you, Courtney, I was going to say, like, I think that the teaching moment, like, maybe you didn't realize it until you were teaching your son, and maybe the Lord was making that more clear to you recently, but you have been teaching people through your writing already in Splendor with the devotional. That's a moment where I think, I mean, as our mission is to help equip people into their calling for the Lord. And so I believe you and the others were all called to be teachers in that way when we're writing and sharing, and hopefully that it would admonish and encourage those who read your work and our work also throughout Splendor magazine. So I think it's really cool though that he made it more evident through your son.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been incredible. God is just so good.
Totally agree. So it seems like you've already answered, like, I think that your life in Christ, your new life in Christ, since he's been answering to you over time what your God-giving purpose and calling is. And really the biggest answer to that question is that we should be giving glory to God in everything that we do. You know, that's our main goal and main purpose in life. And everything else of specifics, he will make known to you. And it seems like you're finding that out, and he will continue to pave that way. But yeah, I wanted to just kind of go back into that in that same realm of things. Is if you were to look down like maybe 5 years from now, what would you say that you'd like to see God do through you, through your gifts and talents, or as a stay-at-home mom, or et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. Honestly, it's funny because I've always been someone who has had a very specific 5-year plan. If someone had asked me that in like a job interview, man, I had like a good memorized answer that I could just crank out and sounded really great and successful. And right now, honestly, I don't know what that looks like, just trying to picture it. But I'm just excited because I know God has things in store. I know that. And I just feel like he has it on my heart to just stay where I am right now. Yeah. And that is the way that I'm to trust him at this point. Because I think if I were to try to go off on my own and do something right now, like get a job or go back to school or anything like that, not that God wouldn't take me where I meant to go, but I don't think I would learn everything that I'm supposed to in this moment by being still and staying home in a sense. And yeah, I'm just excited because I feel like God has just made it very clear right now for me to be obedient in this time. And I'm excited about the present. And yeah, I would love to be blessed with more children in our family in the future and to be able to continue that role of a teacher in the lives of our children and to glorify God in that way. And I can think of so many possibilities when it comes to maybe going back to work, or maybe we travel and do some mission work, or maybe we move to another place. But you know, it's funny. I don't really have a great, clear answer for you, but no. I'm just excited because I feel like God has it on my heart to know what I'm supposed to do right now and to not know yet what's in store. And for the first time, that gives me a lot of peace. Whereas in the past, I would have been freaking out thinking like, no, I have to have things solidified right now so that I can have A happen and B happen and C happen in the order that I want. But it's kind of been fun to just give God control of that. So honestly, as long as he's getting the glory through what I'm doing and through how we're crafting our family, then everything else will fall into place. Not to say it will be easy and without trial, but I feel prepared to go through whatever's next with God.
You said something incredible. I love your answer because you said, I'm excited to be in the present. And that is something so rare for, I think, anyone to say. I think especially if we may be in a harder season, we're constantly looking at the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, I just need to get on the other side. And I think we often forget about just, even though I know that there are some who are going through something really hard in their present currently, but there is something to be said about like the excitement of what you can do for the Lord, for yourself, for others in the present. I think maybe we tend to be too futuristic because maybe we think that there's going to be something better in the future, but that's not necessarily true. There might be some future blessings that will come, but as Lizzie mentioned in our last episode, is like we're guaranteed suffering. You know, the gospel and suffering go hand in hand, and but you don't have a clear picture of what 5 years from now will look like, maybe even 1 or 2 years from now will look like. But to be excited about what God can do through you in the present, I think I'm going to take it for a lesson for myself. So I think it could probably apply to a lot of other men and women who may be listening to this episode as well, of just finding something to be excited about what you can do for God in the present. So thanks for sharing that. And I guess moving into one of our last questions, Dress and Splendor, you know, it's named after Luke 12:27, you know, and being that we could be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers if we trust God. And so I would say, I guess in the vein of our conversation that we've had today, what is some advice that you would give to someone to be dressed in splendor like the wildflowers of the field?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love this chapter in Luke of Jesus speaking. You know, it's funny. I was gardening this morning, and I use the term gardening loosely. I do not have a great thumb. Talk to my sister-in-law about that, who I got to feature in the spring article. So read the article about that if you want to hear things from a true gardener. But I was trying to plant some flowers that I think will be hard for me to kill this morning is basically how I found it. Okay. And so we live just outside of Oklahoma City, and the soil here is like red clay. It's very interesting. It's kind of just like packed mud, and it's bright red. It'll stain your hands, and it doesn't seem very fertile, very conducive to growing things. And I was just trying to dig out some of this soil so I could make room to put flowers in this morning. And I thought, man, like even if I do everything else to plant these right and I water them and I give them, you know, fertilizer, all of the things, they might still die because the soil is not ideal. And it just kind of made me think, like, you know, we need to tend to the soil in our lives first. And flower metaphor kind of ties in there, but
I love it.
Like, you know, tend to the foundation of your life first. You know, make sure that Christ is your rock and he's the center of your life, because even if you have good intentions or you try to go out and do all these things, if you try to become a nurse like I did and maybe it doesn't work out or maybe it does, like you can have all of these things that you strive after, and all of it is for naught if you don't have the foundation of the Lord. And if you don't have him as your rock, are you really doing things with an eternal perspective? Are you really glorifying God? Are you sharing the gospel and trying to bring more people into the kingdom of God if you don't have him as your foundation? So yeah, that might be kind of a silly metaphor, but I was just really reflecting on that this morning. And we can be dressed beautifully on the outside, and what some people who don't fully understand that verse think of as dressed in splendor. We might be very graceful. We might speak very eloquently. We might look beautiful, but are we dressed in the splendor of God? Is our foundation right? So that's just kind of my encouragement to people listening today, is like really reflect on your heart and really speak with God and look to scripture and make sure that everything you are doing and saying or even thinking, is for his glory, and that's where your heart is rooted and your desires.
You are right on the money again with, I think it's important to remember the soil and remembering the different types of seed and soil within the parable that Jesus shares about, like, making sure that we're on good soil so that we can grow, that we're not choked out, that we're not being scooped up and eaten by birds, all this stuff. Like, there are going to be those different types of people. So you can't be dressed in splendor if you're not rooted in Christ, rooted in who God is and the knowledge of his word. So I would, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. I love hearing everyone's different answers to the same question. Yeah. Like you would think that someone would say the same thing and no one has. And this is actually the first time I've actually considered the soil, which is very, as you said, important. And I think it's actually the most important when we think about the foundation of our faith in Christ, especially that we will not be dressed in splendor if we are not first firmly rooted in Christ. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And in the vein of gardening, we're going to talk briefly about the spring issue since that is out. You wrote for A Cuppa with Jesus, but you also mentioned that you interviewed your sister-in-law about gardening. So for those who haven't bought our spring issue yet or one of our magazines at all, why don't you share just a little bit about what you write about in both of those features so that they can maybe get the itch to buy one of it and actually read more of what you wrote.
Yeah, yeah. So my article, the A Cuppa with Jesus article, is, I believe it's titled Change of Heart, Becoming a New Creation in Christ. I might have butchered my own title just now, but that sounds right.
Yeah, it's been a long time since you've written it, so it's probably most accurate.
But still, definitely read it regardless of the title. It touches on a lot of kind of what we shared today, a bit about how my life was before Jesus and how it has been after and what has changed, what has not changed, and just the beauty of a life lived in Christ versus not really. And then some questions for you to ask yourself too as the reader and some scripture to study as well. So yeah. And then the article that I wrote with my sister-in-law, Katie, I got to interview her she's definitely a gardener, I would say. She works part-time in a gardening nursery, and she knows her stuff, and she's completely transforming their land and their backyard. They have lots of acreage, so she's really getting out there and doing it. And it was really great to learn from her as someone who, like I said, does not have a green thumb. It was great to learn from someone who does, but to also learn about how she relates gardening to her faith and how new life is impactful to her in multiple ways, spiritually and in the sense of gardening and in nature. So yeah, shameless plug, but go buy the article or go buy the issue, read the articles. Yeah. It's great.
Yes. Yeah, I always encourage those who listen to the podcast to read, and it's really less to do with me because I don't write anything much unless I feel the Lord's prompting, except for the founder's letter at the beginning. But I'm so excited for people to read it because of what my team has written. And I'm glad that people are getting to know our team and knowing their hearts behind our, what we write, so that they can maybe even like trust a little bit more of the content that we write in a world of people that claim to be Christians. It's important for people to know, I guess, like where our foundation rests in when we do right. We are listening to the Holy Spirit. We are leaning on God and His Word to help us write these articles. So I would encourage everyone to buy our spring issue. We've got some upcoming changes, but exciting things that will come. But I would definitely recommend buying that before we transition into that change. But Courtney, I know we've talked a lot, and I even cut you off at one point, and if I did, I'm so sorry. But if that is the case, is there anything else that maybe you want to share with those listening today?
Gosh, well, first of all, just thank you so much for having me. It's been great to just chit-chat about God. That's my favorite thing to talk about.
Yes.
I would say, gosh, if anything, I was looking at Luke 12 earlier today, you know, just to make sure I studied up on these verses that I felt like we would be talking about. Mm-hmm. I think it's so interesting that at the end of verse 28, the verse after the dressed in splendor verse, it ends with Jesus asking, why do you have so little faith? Mm. And I just think that's so interesting and very convicting for me. When I read that, I was like, oh, wow, good question, Jesus. Yeah. And it made me think of this kind of call and response that we do at our church here sometimes where the pastor will speak and say, though your faith at times is weak, the Father's grip on you is strong. And I just want to encourage people listening out there that, man, yeah, even though those of us who may be speaking sound like we are of strong faith all the time, that's definitely not the case. Like, we're still broken people. We have sinful nature. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, as Romans says. And it's a struggle for a lot of us. And I'm not talking about you, Lydia, specifically. I'm talking about me, but just in general and us.
For me too.
Yeah. And so I just want to encourage people listening, like, even if you feel like your faith is weak or shaky, like, the Father's grip on you is still strong, and he is never stopping running after you and seeking after you. And he's always fighting for you too. So just lean into that. And even if you feel like you don't hear God, like I mentioned earlier, keep listening. Don't give up on God, because he's never giving up on you. So that's just my short little encouragement.
Sounds just like a teacher would share. So that was a beautiful response. Yeah. Well, for those who want to continue and actually follow you, where can they do that? Where can they find you on social media if you want them to follow you? No pressure.
Yeah, no, I accept it. So Instagram and Facebook are probably the best for me. That's what I use the most, at least. Instagram is at court.selvage. I'm sure you'll spell that out in show notes, because it's kind of hard for some people to spell. I have recently gone private just since having my son, because I share a lot of him on there. And maybe that's just part of me wanting to have control again, but it's kind of a safety thing. But definitely give me a follow request. There's no shame in that. I am happy to follow back any people listening, and Facebook as well. It's a good place to reach me. And then, you know, take a peek in the issue of Splendor too, and you'll find me there.
Yeah, totally. And if you have any questions pertaining to anything we might have talked about today, I'm sure that she would welcome any DM requests. Like, you don't have to follow her, but I'm sure, I mean, I'm speaking on behalf of you, but I see your head nodding. Sure. So I'm assuming that you're okay with people like asking questions on
welcome
things.
Welcome at all. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Courtney, again, for joining the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, of course. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. Courtney's heart certainly shines through in this episode, and the desire to love and teach her family and possibly others is clearly evident through her testimony. If you have any questions about what we've discussed today, don't hesitate to comment on our post promoting this episode or direct message Courtney or myself to ask. We're here for you, and I truly hope that this episode encouraged you in some way, shape, or form. May this podcast further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life, no matter what you may go through. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor. If you'd like to give me a follow on Instagram, you can find me at The Lydia Summer. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of his children can be shared with all in order for his glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.